Morning. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Tes Zayin. We're going to take a little bit of a detour today from the Masechta. We're going to do today's daf, but within today's daf, though, we are really going to move away from the topic of Yuma and Hafrash and the Kohen Gadol and its preparation, and we're going to discuss Mishnayos and Midos and Tamid. Why are we going to do that today? So, as Rashi points out, you can take a look at the Rashi on Tezvav Amud Beis. Right, Rashi introduces this next sugya that's coming up. But we're starting in the Gemara with the words Tanan Hasam, which is on Tezvav Amud Beis. It's a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. And if you take a look at Rashi and the Tanan Hasam, so Rashi says, B'Masechus Tamid, so we're going to learn a Mishnah together, Masechta Tamid. V'lo Shaykh L'mikbe B'Gemara D'Yuma. Rashi writes very clearly, it has no Shaykhus right now to what we're learning in Masechta Yuma. So, Ela Mishum D'Mayr L'El B'Shinui Kai Gavna. However, what did we see in yesterday's daf? We saw an answer very similar. Right? Yesterday, we in the daf, we had a discrepancy between a Mishnah and Yuma and a Mishnah and Yuma. A Mishnah and Yuma versus a Mishnah and Tamid. So what we did basically is we gave an answer. The answer we gave yesterday was, well, one of the Mishnahs is going like Rabbi Shimon, Isha Mitzvah. And it was a question of whether it was the Mishnah in Tamid or was the Mishnah in Yuma. But in other words, but basically, we had a discrepancy between Mishnahs, and basically we said, okay, those Mishnahs is going like another Manda Amar. So Man Tana said, Yuma Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So that was the Gemara's answer yesterday, that the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. So lo shamina le da amar hachi ela mishum de shamina le da palaga seder tamid mukmin las tamid de pligia tamid alibe. So basically, because he was arguing with Mishnayos and Tamid, so therefore our Mishnayos and Yom are going like Rabbi Shimon. Veishita kazos mitzuyah be gemara kava nami lahach gabe de mituk manami bahach shita say. So Rashi points out, so now we have a sugya, kind of belongs somewhere in Shas, we don't really know where to put it. So the editor, the Masader of the Gemara, decided to put it here on today's daf, because it kind of fits in with that kind of line of thinking, where I have Mishnayos and Tamid, I have Mishnayos and Midos, and I don't know what to do with it, so we're going to designate one of those Mishnayos Aliba according to some Shita. Okay, so basically, as an introduction to today, we're on a tangent. We're going to be on a tangent for the entirety of today. In fact, the tangent's going to run into tomorrow's daf as well. Daf Yud Zayin. So Daf Tes Zayin and Daf Yud Zayin are tangents. We will return back on Yud Ches. We're going to return back to the topic of Yuma. But okay, this is just the beginning of a 2-day tangent from the Masechta. A lot of Mishnayos and Tamid and Midos is what we're going to be covering over the course of today and tomorrow. A great review from the structure of the Beis Hamikdash. I position myself so I can point to the Beis Hamikdash with the regularity, as we're going to need to have a good mental picture of the Beis Hamikdash to appreciate and understand all that we're going to be accomplishing over the course of today. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. There are two Masechtas, just again one other brief point of overview, and then we're going to start. There are two Masechtas found in the end of Seder Kodshim. There is Midos and there's Tamid. Okay, and they are basically separated by the following. First of all, there are a couple of notable differences. Tamid has a little bit of Gemara, Midos has no Gemara. There's no Bavli Gemara written on Midos. There's a little bit of Bavli Gemara written on Masechta Tamid. Okay. But aside from that, though, just in terms of fundamentally, there are different Masechtas in the following. Midos, as the name indicates, is measurements. Meaning, you go to Masechta Midos, what is it? It is a measurement of the Beis HaMikdash. It gives us actually the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and the linear measurements of the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, go through Masechta Midos and you'll see that it measures from the Har HaBayis, the Azara, the Ezras Nashim, the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. All measurements are included in Midos. It gives us the Beis HaMikdash structurally. The second Beis HaMikdash, not the first Beis HaMikdash, probably after the improvements done by Herod. But in other words, that's Midos, Masechta Midos. Masechta Tamid is the function of the Beis HaMikdash. In Masechta Tamid, a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash, what happens in the beginning of the day, what happens throughout the course of the day, what happens at the end of the day, basically what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's going to be a lot of overlap, obviously, between the two Masechtas, in terms of, because the topic is the Beis HaMikdash, just one is focusing on the linear measurement, that's Midos, and one's focusing on the function, that's Masechta Tamid. However, there is some overlap, and what we're going to note is that there are two Mishnayos, one in Tamid, one in Midos. They're both going to be describing the same thing, and they're not going to be describing it in the same way. And that's going to be our problem. That's really what we're going to be doing over the course of today. And now with all that said, now we can begin. So Tanan Hasam. So we start together in the Mishnayos in Midos. This is Perikimel Mishnah Gimel in Midos. Amar lahem Mamuna. So the Mamuna says to them, a Mamuna is an appointed person. Now if you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi says it's the Skan, it's the deputy Kohen Gadol. So Tosu says it can't possibly be. So the but anyway, so Amar lahem Mamuna Tzuve Evu Tlem Elishkas Beis HaTalayim. Go bring a sheep from the Lishkas HaTalayim. Now, they had a, not a warehouse, because we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, but basically a storage house where they would keep sheep.
The real bullpen.
No, yeah, they correct. But, right, more like the sheep pen, but yes. And this is where they would keep the animals for the tamid. They would have a reservoir of 6 sheep in the event that, for basically 3 days. You know, it's 2 a day. It's the tamid shel shachar and tamid shel ben arba'im. So it's 2 a day, and they had it on reserve for 3 days. So 3 times 2 is 6, and they kept it in the lishkas talayim. Okay, now all of our attention today. Remember, on my picture behind me, right? Your new north is the new south, and south is the new north. So in other words, down here is the north and up there is the south. Okay? Just to confuse us. Okay, we're going to be focusing on this building right over here. This is called the Beis HaMoka. This building over here, probably one of the larger buildings set. It's set actually in the wall. We're going to see later on, half of this area is in Kodesh, meaning in the Azara, and half of it is in Har HaBayis. Okay, the difference between Kodesh and Har HaBayis, between the Azara and the Har HaBayis, we've discussed this number of times, is that if you're Tamei, let's say you're Tamei Mace, for example. So Tamei Mace, so you can be in the Har HaBayis area. You can't be in the Azara. So when you're in this building, there's going to be an actual border, which we'll talk about later this morning, which tells you which side you are, whether you're on the Har HaBayis side out here, or whether you're in the Kodesh side in there.
Is that not incorrect? Because is the Ulam supposed to be bisecting this, or is it...
What's supposed to be happening is that this wall is supposed to be bisecting this room.
No, I'm saying vertically. Is the Ulam supposed to be bisecting that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Because isn't the Ulam part of the Azara?
No, the Ulam is actually in the Azara.
Oh, Ulam is in Azara. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Ulam, the Heichal, it's all in the Azara. This room over here is bisected so that the interior is in the Azara and the exterior is outside in the Har HaBayis area. Okay, fine. Anyway, that's the room that we're going to be talking about for really all of today. In other words, we're going to diverge for just a little bit, but this is really our focus. It's called the Beis HaMokan. So in this Beis HaMokan, by the way, it had a dome on top, right? Right. We think dome, not part of the Beis HaMikdash. No, it is part of the Beis HaMikdash. This building had a dome. So the Beis HaMokan, so we're getting introduced to it from the perspective of the Mishnayos and Tamid. Why? Because the Mishnah Tamid says, go get the animal. Where am I going to find the animal? Oh, you go to the Beis HaMokan. And now the Mishnah goes on to describe. Vahalo, sorry, where'd I go? Vahalo, but Lishkas HaTalayim, Haisa B'miksoetz Fonis Ma'aravis. You're going to find it in the northwest corner of the Beis HaMokan. So in other words, the Beis HaMokan is a large building. It's set in the wall of the Azara. And you're going to go find it in the northwest corner. So that means then that, again, this is south, this is north. You're going to go into this corner right over here in order to find it. Now, I already can tell you that there's a problem because this is not, it's not a strong question, but it's a question. I'm looking at this picture over here, and it doesn't identify the Lishkas HaTalayim in the northwest corner. In fact, this picture identifies it in the southwest corner. Okay? I'm not going to ask Akasha from the picture to the Gemara. Okay, but obviously this must be reflecting something. Right, the drawer of the picture knew what he was doing, so you'll see. You'll see what's going on. So it's in the northwest corner of Arba Lishakos Hayusham, and there were a total of 4 chambers in the Beis HaMokan. Achas Lishkas HaTalayim. So we start the Lishkas HaTalayim. Now, mind you, by the way, I find this to be almost always true. We go counterclockwise. Whenever we need to go in around a room or around a chamber, around anything, so our direction is going to be counterclockwise. So we're starting right now in the northwest. So the achas lishkas of chosamos, the achas lishkas beis hamokad, the achas lishkas of shaosem bo lechem hapanim. So now, the other 4 chambers, says the Mishnah and Tamid, is the lishkas of chosamos receipts. Remember back in Shkalim, we talked about how you had to get a receipt in order to buy your nesachim. Achas lishkas beis hamokad, the chamber of the Beis HaMokad, which is kind of vague because, quite frankly, the whole building is called the Beis HaMokad. So what's that little chamber called? The Lishkas Beis HaMokad. B'achas Lishkas Shosem Bo Lechem Aponim, that's pretty clear. That's the room where they bake the Lechem Aponim. Okay, Adkan. So what do we have right now in Mishnah and Tamid? The Mishnah and Tamid, for our purposes, just to simplify, what we need to focus on is the fact that the Mishnah and Tamid identifies where to get the animals. They're found in the Beis HaMokad, but specifically in the northwest corner of the Beis HaMokad. Good. That's the Mishnah and Tamid. We'll remain with the Gemara says. Now let's turn our attention to the Mishnah. Midos, Arba L'Shekos Hayu BeBeis HaMokad. Now you notice the Mishnah and Tamid didn't spend much time discussing these chambers, right? Because again, the Mishnah and Tamid is not really interested in space. It's interested in function. So from the Mishnah and Tamid standpoint, we just want to know, where do I get the animals? Okay, good. I'll go to that room, and by the way, here are a couple of other things in that room. But like, not much detail. Now we turn to our attention to the Mishnah Midos, and you'll see the Mishnayos and Midos give us much more detail because the Mishnayos and Midos are interested in actually the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So, Arba L'Shakos Hayu LeBeis HaMokad, Ki Kitanios HaPsuchos L'Traklin. It's like small office rooms opening up to a larger room. Okay, that's, you're in the Beis HaMokad, in each one of the corners is like a small room, and it opens up into a larger space, into a larger hallway. Shtayim B'Kodesh, Shtayim B'Chol. Two of the offices, or two of these rooms, are in Kodesh. Again, just by the simple structure, where the wall is bisecting the Beis HaMokad. So that the two interior are in Kodesh, and the two exterior are in Chol. Now, Chol, by the way, does not mean, Chol means mundane, but not in this context. Meaning, Chol over here just means it's in the Har HaBayis area. Just simply relative to the Azara, it has less Kedusha. But don't take Chol so seriously. I should say rather so literally. V'rashi pispasim mavdilim being kodesh achol. And there was some Rashi pispasim. There was some way to demarcate whether you were on the north side in the Har HaBayis or you were on the south side in the Azara. Being kodesh achol, umayu mishamshin. And now what was the usage, what was the purpose of each one of these rooms? So ma'arav is dromis, so we're going to be starting in the southwest. Okay, so here our starting point is going to be the southwest. And what was in the southwest? He aisa lishkas tlei karbon. So that's where the Tlei Karbon was. That's where the sheep were. Okay, right there we could stop. I mean, we're not going to stop. But right there we could stop. You already see what the problem is. The problem is that we had a Mishnah Tamid. The Mishnah Tamid clearly identified it in the northwest. We have a Mishnah Midos, and the Mishnah Midos identifies it to be in the southwest. Okay, like in other words, that's it. Meaning, what a perfect setup for today. The rest of today's daf is going to basically be, how do I deal with that? How do I deal with a very blatant discrepancy between a Mishnah in Tamid versus a Mishnah in Midos? Jeromis Mizrachis, we're on the top of Tezayin Amad Aleph. Now, we're going to finish up this Mishnah in Midos, meaning we still have more to go, and the Mishnah Midos is just going to take us around. Meaning, so where do we start? We start in the southwest, so remember, counterclockwise is always the direction we seem to be going, so now Jeromis Mizrachis. So now we go to the southeast. So he lishka shayusim bo lechem aponim. So that's where the lechem aponim was made. Now again, you go back to the Mishnah in Tamid, you realize that's off as well. Okay. Mizrach tzfon is baganzu beis chashmone avne mizbech sheshikitzu malche ovdei kochavim. If you go to the northeast, because again, we're going counterclockwise. Now if you go up to the northeast, what's kept in the northeast room? So that's where the stones were kept of the beis chashmonai. The stones of the Mizbeach, Sheshikitzum Malche Ovdei Kochavim, where the Malche Ovdei Kochavim, meaning the Greeks, basically, they defile the Mizbeach. So we had to basically reconstruct the Mizbeach, and all the old stones were kept in some sort of Geniza in the northeast corner of the of this Beis HaMokad. And Tzfonis Maravitz, and finally, to finish up, now we're going to end up in the northwest. So by Yordan LeBeis HaTfila, that would be where we go out to the Beis HaTfila, meaning that there were subterranean caves in the that exited out of the Beis HaMokad. So in the event that if a Kohen becomes Tameh, he doesn't need to walk out of the Beis HaMikdash, he can go subterranean. The entrance into the subterranean caves is going to be in the northwest. That's the Yerida LeBeis HaTfila, that's where you would descend to go to the underground mikvos that were somewhere under the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I'm looking at the picture right behind me, and the picture right behind me is pretty much a reflection of what we just learned together in Masechta Midos. In other words, the diagram over here follows the Mishnayos in Midos. Right, the southeast is where they make the Lechem Aponim. Right? Yeah. Sorry, just had a Just turn my head upside down. The southwest is where the sheep were kept. In the northeast, at least on this diagram, it has a chosamos. Now, that's not exactly what the Mishnah Midos said, but that's not a problem. Meaning, the Mishnah Midos just says that that's where the stones were stored. It could also be another function of that room, is that where the receipts are handed out. And finally, in the northwest, so that's where the they descend into the underground mikvahs. Fine.
What was the point of maintaining those stones from the
fair question. I don't have an answer. Nice connection to Hanukkah. Okay, add some Kedusha, maybe a form of Geniza. Okay. Well, again, the Kodesh is the Azara. So whoever can't go into Azara can't go into the southern portion of the Beis Hamokah.
Yeah, they said the animals can only be kept in Kodesh.
Well, no. Whether or not they're arguing about where the animals can be kept, I don't know. In other words, again, we'll see over the course of today and tomorrow a couple of approaches of how to deal with this discrepancy. It could be, you're right, could be one of the issues is, although I'm not sure, but it sounds reasonable, it could be that one of the issues is, where should I keep the animals? Should I keep the animals in Kodesh, or should I keep the animals in Chol? That's certainly, but the Gemara doesn't say it, so, but it sounds relatively reasonable. Amar Rav Huna, so here we go. Okay, so the problem is pretty clear. We have a Mishnah in Midos, we have a Mishnah in Tamid. The location of the Talayim, in other words, with the Beis Hamokah, look, there's a lot of agreement. Meaning, before we get to the disagreement, there's a Beis Hamokah, it's on the north side of the Azara. There are four rooms over there. The identification of the four rooms are pretty much similar. The only problem is the actual placement of the four rooms. That seems to be the discrepancy between the Mishnah and Tamid and the Mishnah Midos. The Mishnah and Tamid is placing the Talayim in the northwest, and the Mishnah and Midos is placing it in the southwest. That's the problem. It's a pretty blatant issue. So we deal with solution. Solution number one, which is basically the entire Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Huna Mantana Midos Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Hi. Okay, but that's really the solution. I mean, that's it. Meaning those Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, so in other words, it's a Shita. It's a Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, by the way, I don't want to give any type of intonation that it's like just a Shita. I mean, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Gemara says often when we're going to see in the beginning of Masechta Beitza that when you have a Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it's Kavanaki. Kavanaki means it's like anything he says is sifted, it's meted out. He like thinks things through. He doesn't say a lot, but whatever he says is like gold. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay. So did not. And how do I know that? And from this point going forward now, all we're going to do now is just solidify this answer that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So we're going to now go really off tangent. I know we're going to go off the board right now. Just learning together Mishnayos and Midos and basically coming to the conclusion, the realization that the Mishnayos and Midos are the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And so therefore, our original question of how do I reconcile the Mishnayos and Midos with the Mishnayos and Talmud? And again, the answer of Rav Huna is you don't have to reconcile them. In other words, the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Mishnayos and Talmud obviously are not. Okay, that's it, period. How do I know that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov did not? Because we learned in the Mishnah. Ezos Nashim Haisarech Me'av Vishloshim V'chamesh Aroch of Me'av Vishloshim V'chamesh. The Mishnayos and Midos, which give us the linear measurements. So first we go to Ezos Nashim. Ezos Nashim is 135 by 135. The Arba L'Shakot Hayu Seha. And there are four right here in the Esos Nashim. By the way, it's called Esos Nashim because, not specific to women, it's just that women wouldn't go past this point. So in other words, a woman typically would not go into the Azara. So this is called Esos Nashim just simply because that's, generally speaking, the last place a woman would go to in the Azara. It's not really the Azara, by the way. It's called Esos Nashim. It's really Harabais. Meaning the area circumscribed as the Azara is this area over here. So this area over here is called Esos Nashim, but it really has the status of Harabais. Anyway, in the four corners of the Ezra's Nashim,
because there's some differences in terms of who can go there and cannot go in terms of
between Harabais and Ezra's Nashim.
Yeah.
I have it somewhere in my head that you're right, but generally speaking, though, it's not the Azara. So, in my mind, if it's not the Azara, it's Harabais. But you may be right; may have a little more kedusha than the Harabais. You want to know where to find this? I mean, aside from the Rambam, which would be the easiest where to go, but in the first parak of Kalim. Oh, okay. In the first parak of Kalim, so the Mishnayos over there go over This has more kedusha than this and this, and it goes. It keeps going interior. Anyway, how you bedal miktosel umayu mishamshos dromas mizrachis he is our lishkas and nazir. So here we go again. We're going to go now around the room of the Ezros Nashim to identify all the rooms. So we start off in the dromas mizrachis. We're in the southeast. So he is lishkas nazirim. So I'm pointing. You know, I don't have no idea where I'm pointing to. There we go. Southeast. Okay. Southeast is the new northwest. So in the south, in the southeast corner, so Lishkas Nazirim, Shasham Nazir, Mevasham Eshamehem. So that's where the Nazir would cook his carbon shlamim. Right? One of the stranger halachas, it's strange to us, but of course it's a mitzvah, so call it whatever you want. But the Mevasham Eshamehem, they would cook the shlamim. That's not strange, that's fine. What would be strange is the Megachan Sarah Meshach and Tachas Adud. What's strange is that the Nazir, at the termination of his Nazirus, he's got a lot of hair. Maybe not. I mean, it could only be 30 days, but whatever. He's got hair. He shaves his hair, and he places it under the pot where the shlamim is being cooked. Okay, that's the mitzvah. Unclear. I don't know. All I'm giving is this schematic diagram. So I don't know. Could be. I don't know. So umashich and tachas adud mizrach tzfonis. Now we go to the northeast. So again, everything is always counterclockwise. So we start in the southeast. Now we go to the northeast. So we're over there. So he I saw lishkas dira eitzim. That's where the wood is kept. Right, wood is necessary because you need to fuel the mizbeach. Mizbeach needed a burning fire on it all the time. So therefore, the wood was kept over shisham kohanim bali mumim omdim umatliim beeitzim. And Kohanim who are Bali Momim, they had a physical blemish. That means that they can't do the Avoda. So they made use of themselves. In other words, despite the fact that they can't do the formal Avoda, but they're team players. And so whatever they could do, they could do. So they would go into the Lishkas Eitzim and they would deworm the wood. Because if the wood has worms in it, it's disqualified for the Mizbeach. And so therefore they would sit there and actually work their way through the wood, examine the wood, and if necessary, deworm the wood. Tzfonis Maravis, now we go to the northwest corner, the one that's closest to me, and he Isa Lishkas HaMetzorayim, and that's the Lishka of the Metzorayim. So, as you can see over there in the picture, there's a mikvah situated over there, and Maravis Dromis, and now we go to the southwest corner. Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov shachachti ma'isa mishameshes. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, "I forgot. I forgot what's used. What it's used for." Now, "I forgot" means a couple of things. First of all, it means there's no Beis Hamikdash. I mean, that's, in other words, it's hard to say "I forgot" if there's actual Beis Hamikdash over there. So it sounds like this report given to us by Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was post Chorban. Okay, that's one point. That's a simple observation. The other observation, which Rashi makes, is that when he says, "I forgot," what does that mean? It means he was responsible for giving us all the information up until this point in time. So again, our yesod, our premise is that the Mishnah and Semitas are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So here's an excellent indication that this is so, because we're given a description, and then finally we get to one of the rooms, the southwest corner of the Ezros Nashim, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Oh, I forgot." Which means if he's identifying his lack of knowledge, that means everything else was his knowledge. Okay, Abishal Omer Bohayu Nostem Bao Shemen Viaisa Nikras Lishkas Beishmanaya. Abishal says that room is where the oil was kept and the wine was kept, presumably for the Nesachim, and it was called Beishmanaya, the chamber of oil. So if you look in the diagram in front of me, so okay, Lishkas Hashmanim, the chamber of the oils. Hachinami Mistaber, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, he and the Gemara now is going to give a second proof. Okay, in other words, we pretty much made our point. The Gemara has made its point. Again, discrepancy between the Mishnah and Midos versus the Mishnah and Tamid in terms of where the Lishkas Talaim is in the Beis HaMokad. The discrepancy right now is being resolved by Rav Huna by simply saying that those Mishnahs and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. We quoted a Mishnah in Midos identifying that the person telling us about the Beis HaMikdash is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And our point has now been made. The Gemara says, "But look, we're here, and we have some time together. So let's say it again. Let's solidify this point that the Mishnayos in Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov did not, because we have the following Mishnah. All the walls were really high. Now again, on the schematic, so you get no sense of depth. So all you get to see is just like a diagram, schematic diagram of the Beis Hamikdash, but we're looking at very high walls. And by the way, in the schematic also, you don't really get to see the difference between what's a wall and what's a building. This is a building. This is open area. This is a wall. These are walls. It's just hard to see all that in the context of a schematic. The walls are high, says the Mishnah Midos. Okay, now I know that doesn't sound like a very exact statement. In other words, the walls are high. Okay, but in other words, you'll see what the Mishnah Midos is a specific point it needs to make. So it starts off by saying all the walls are high, chutz mikota mizrach, except for the eastern wall. Okay, so in other words, go all the way to the east, and the wall all the way east of where I'm standing right now is low. Shakona surface apar omid bahar mishcha, and there's a reason why this is so. Meaning there's a functional reason why the eastern wall has to be low. Why? Shakona surface apar omid bahar mishcha. Because just east of the Beis HaMikdash and east of Har Bayis is the Mount of Olives. Now, when performing the quote-unquote avoda of the paraduma, so the kohen, it's not the paraduma, right? We always get confused regarding the paraduma. Is it a karban? No, it's not a karban. It's not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not shucked in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a karban. However, the Torah refers to it as a chatas. It is karban-like. So, in a sense, it's not a carbon. I mean, not in a sense. It is not a carbon. On the other hand, the Torah wants it to be done, although outside the Beis HaMikdash, at least you should have visibility into the Beis HaMikdash. So you're standing all the way to the east. I know this picture is limited because it only gives us the Azara and the Ezros Nashim. So in other words, the Mount Olives is all the way somewhere down there. But what he wants on a clear day is the ability to go through and see until he sees the actual entrance of the Heichal. Now there's a couple of issues which we're going to be discussing over the course of today. One issue is the Mizbeach. That's going to be our last topic of discussion for today. Meaning the Mizbeach may be an obstruction. Okay, Mizbeach was really high. 32 amos off the ground. So if we're going to take the Mizbeach and we're going to put it flush in the center, so the Mizbeach is going to present an obstruction. Okay, but that's our last topic of today. So right now, let's ignore the Mizbeach. Okay? It's a hard thing to just simply move out of the way, but right now we're moving it right out of the way. Here's our bigger issue in the beginning. What we don't have is a topography. This picture is great, but the picture is just a schematic. What we don't realize is that as we're moving west, we keep moving up. So in other words, the Mount of Olives is over there, there's a dip, and there is a continual ascent. Now you would know this as if we were walking now westbound towards the Beis HaMikdash, there would be always steps, and we'd always be walking up. This area over here is 12 steps, we'd be walking up. This area over here is 15 steps, we'd be walking up. This area over here has steps, we'd be walking up. This area over here has steps, we'd be walking up. So it's a continual ascent as you move from east to west. Now basically the problem is as follows. If we had a series of walls, wall, 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 here's a wall, here's a wall, here's a wall. If we have a series of walls, so how are you going to see into the Azara?
Is it into the Azara, or could it be just a roof of the Azara that needs?
Right, so you want, the line of vision wants to be able to see the entrance. That's the goal. The goal of this next Amud of Gemara, or the remainder of today's Amud, the goal of this is to basically see the entrance. And so how do I see the entrance when standing out? Well, the answer is actually relatively simple. Meaning, because when we're looking in other words, we're not obstructed by the walls because here's an entrance, and here's an entrance, and here's an entrance. But the problem becomes as follows. If it were just a flat line, and the Mizbeach were into consideration, so then everything would be fine. The problem is, it's not a flat line. It is an ascent. So eventually what happens is, let's go from the west down to the east. We're going down, we're going down, we're going down. So finally we get to this last eastern wall. It very well may be that it's so low that I won't be able to see through it, the entrance. I'm going to have to look above the entrance. So essentially what these Mishnayos are going to tell us in Midos is that all walls were high except for the eastern wall. Because when we got to the eastern wall, the object was for the Kohen to do the avoda of the paraduma, to look over that eastern wall, and then look through the entrances of the other walls. Now this discussion is going to get very detailed, because basically we know with precision exactly what the drop is from the entrance of the Heichal all the way down to the east. What happens is that it goes down, bottom, goes down, it goes down, and then there's bottom. Right, and then he stands on a mountaintop over here, so he could see through. But how does he see over the wall? Through the entrances, over the wall.
Through what entrance that was important? The entrance of the Heichal or all the entrances?
He had to see the entrance of the Heichal. That was the goal. That's right.
But the thing is that it's not just a function of height, but it's also a function of distance. You know, your vision.
Okay, it had to be, I mean, right. The Gemara is just dealing with the height issue. I hear you, but the Gemara is just handling that one perspective. Okay, with all that stated, that was a nice introduction. Let's go. Kol HaKtalim, Shayisham Hayu Gvoim, Chutz Mikosel, Mizracho, Sha'akona Surface Apar, Omid Bar HaMishcha. So the Kohen was standing on the Har HaMishcha. We are two wide lines down on Tetzayin Amud Aleph. U'mechavin v'ro'a keneged pischo shel heichal. And he's mechaving with precision. He's looking at the entrance of the heichal. B'shas asas adam, as he's sprinkling the blood. V'tznan. And we learned in a Mishnah, kol ha'pesachim shayu sham gvoim esrei ma'ama v'ro'a esrei amos. Now, here we're going to get a clue into all the dimensions. The height of every entrance was 20 amos. The width of every entrance was 10 amos. 20 amos is our magic number, meaning that is a hard number, because no entrance would be higher or lower than 20 amos. Now, there's one exception, by the way, just to point out, the ulam, the entrance into the antechamber, was 20 amos wide and 40 amos high. But that's the only exception. All other entrances were 10 by 20. Utnan, lifnim imenu sareg. Utnan, lifnim imenu hachel eser amos. We're going to basically now going to go through every wall and every entrance. So lifnim imenu is the sareg. Sareg was the outer perimeter of this azara. So again, we're over here. And lifnim imenu hachel. There is another wall interior. There's this wall, and then there's this wall. Ushte masra ma'alos ayusham. And there were 12 steps, meaning to go from the sareg to the chel, 12 steps going up. Now the steps are easy. Every step is a half an amma by a half an amma. Half an amma high, half an amma in. I know your zoning people wouldn't be so happy with that. That's how the steps were. A little tricky to ascend and descend down these steps, but fine. So in other words, so we know it's very simple math now. Right? You have 12 steps going up, so that's a 6 amma elevation. Each step is a half an amma high. Tezvav malos olos mitocha hayordos me'azaris yisrael ezros nashim. Now, 15 steps to get you from the ezros nashim up into the azara. Ramala chatzi amma v'shilcha chatzi amma. So it's half an amma high, each one of those steps. So that's another 7.5 ammas. So where are we right now? We went up 6 ammas. We went up another 7.5 ammas. So we're not right now 13.5 ammas from where we started, right outside the Soreg. Utanan bein ha'ulam l'mizbechav beizama, from the ulam up to the mizbeach is 22 amma. That's not a height. That's just simply the lateral distance. Ushtaim esrei malos ayusham, and there are 12 steps. Roma l'chatzi amma v'shocha chatzi amma. So in other words, to go from here, the azara, up to the ulam were 12 steps. And again, each height of each step is 6 amas. So add now another 6 amas. So 13.5 amas and 6 amas. So that's 19.5 amas. So far, so good. Meaning right now, if we stopped at the Gemara at this point in time, 19.5 amas, so you can just do it. Do what? Look in through the eastern entrance and be able to see the entrance of the Azara. Meaning if I drew a straight line right across, so the entrance is 20 amas high, and the ascent from here to here is 19.5 amas. So I understand it has to be a perfect line, or not perfect, but pretty close to it, with no angle, and yes, you'd be able to see, by looking through the entrance, you'd be able to see the Heichal. If our numbers stop right here, at 19 and a half amas a cent. Here's the problem. Not a problem, but here's the wrench in the in this entire discussion. Utnan Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Mala Haisa Sham, Vigova Ama, Viduchina San Alaha, Ubo Shalosh Malo Shah Chatzi Chatzi Ama. Rav Elazar has a platform, meaning he has one other elevation. It's called the Duchen, literally platform, where if you walk into the Azara to go from this area, which is called Ezros Yisrael, this is all the Azara. It just happens to be that there were three steps that separated this area and this area. And each one of those steps was a half an amah high. So now you have three additional steps, a half an amah high, so that gives you another amah and a half of elevation. So now, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, now it seems to be that the that there are others who don't agree with that. But according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you now have a total height of 19 and a half plus another amah and a half. Okay, so that's 21. It's 21 amas. That's a problem. Because it's a problem now because there's no way I could look through the entrance on a straight line and see the Azara, and see the Pesach HaHeichal, the entrance to the Heichal. So that creates a problem, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov.
One and a half hour make a difference.
So again, maybe you could look at an incline. Maybe an angular view would be able to allow you to see it. But the Gemara is assuming that it's a straight line to see it. So now, Iyamar Bishlamer Rav Elazar ben Yaakov he Hainu Deischele Pescha. So here's the Gemara now making its point a second time. The point is, the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Because basically what the Gemara now is going to argue is that the only way to get a view, an unobstructed view, from the Mount of Olives into the Heichal is by looking over this wall. You can't look through the entrance because this entrance over here is 21 amas below the Heichal. So the only way to do it is to look over this wall. That's why the Mishnah Midos says that all the walls are really high, except for this eastern wall over here. Where the eastern wall over here basically was just cut right at the top of the entrance, so that the Kohen could see over. And now, I understand, the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If, however, the Gemara finishes its point, the Elai Amar Rabbanan, but if you say the Mishnayos and Midos are going like the Chachamim, Ha'ika Pagadam to the Mishchaz Elai Pischa Begavei. See, the Chachamim don't have this one and a half amma elevation right over here, so that means, according to the Chachamim, there is 19 and a half elevation from the eastern wall to the entrance of the Heichal, and so therefore, in that half an amma, you can get an unobstructed view of the Heichal. So that's proof number two, that the Mishnah and Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Period. Okay, pretty straightforward. We have now two Mishnayos and Midos, which clearly identify the author of the Mishnayos and Midos to be Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Proof number one, as we went around the Ezros Nashim, we got to the southeast corner, and the question was, southwest corner. We get to the southwest corner, and the question was, what was that Lishka? And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, oh, I forgot. Which means that the rest of the Mishnayos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Proof number two is that the eastern wall was low, so that the Kohen doing the Avodah with the Paraduma can get an unobstructed view of the Heichal. Well, the only way it works out in terms of height and ascension is if we add this one and a half platform platform over here, which Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says we do. Okay, so two proofs that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and now to address our original question. The Mishnah in Midos has the Lishkas Talayim over here in the southwest. The Mishnah in Tamid has the Lishkas Talayim in the northwest of the Beis HaMokad. So right now our proposed answer is the author of Midos is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Period. Rav Adar Ba'ava Amar Hamani Rav Yehudi. Rav Adar Ba'ava says, well, maybe we can offer a different suggestion, and that is that the Mizbeach. Meaning, we're not going back to the original question, we're just reopening the issue of why was that eastern wall so low? So maybe, says the Gemara, the eastern wall so low, having nothing to do with the ascension, but having to do with the Mizbeach. Meaning, what do we say? We said that the Mizbeach could pose a problem. Sure. Meaning, the Mizbeach if it's flush right here in the middle, could be a total obstruction to the viewing of the Heichal. Now the question is, where was the Mizbeach? So, so if you've been with us long enough, you know the placement of the Mizbeach is a moving target. It's not totally clear where exactly the Mizbeach was placed. So the Gemara is now arguing that perhaps the reason why that eastern wall was so low had to do with the placement of the Mizbeach. Let's see this together inside. Hamani Rav Yehudi, Detani Rav Yehuda, Omer Mizbeach Memutzeh, V'omed Be'emsa Azara. The Mizbeach was Memutzeh. It was exactly in the middle. It bisected the north-south latitude of the Azara.
What part of Mizbeach, though?
Meaning the center. I mean, take the center point of the Mizbeach. Ignore the ramp. I mean, don't ignore it. But just in other words...
That could be also the front.
I understood. But just in other words, these 32 amas by 32 amas of the Mizbeach flush right in the center. So, the Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, Mizbeach Memutzeh, Omer Be'emsa Azara. Ushloshim Vishtaim Amos Hayulo. 32 amas total, meaning it was a square of 32 by 32. So, Hayulo. Eser Amos Keneged Pitzcho Shel Heichal. Yud Aleph Amos Letzafon. V'yud Aleph Amos Ledaron. So now, 10 amos obstructing the entrance of the Heichal, and then, after 10 amos, another 11 one direction, another 11 another direction, to get us to the number 32. Nimza Mizbeach Mechuvan Kereged Heichal V'kod Lav. And it turns out now that the Mizbeach is exactly in the way of the Heichal and the walls of the Heichal. Okay, now, that could be another way to explain the Mishnayos Midos. Meaning again, the Mishnayos Midos says, that eastern wall was low. Why was it low? So you could look over it. Why do I need to look over it? So again, one approach has to do with the ascension and the fact that I can't look through the entranceway because there's no way I'm going to be able to see the entrance through the entranceway. Now the Gemara is going to give us really a different approach. It could be that it has nothing to do with the ascension. It has to do with the fact that the Mizbeach is right here, right in the middle. And that's why the eastern wall has to be low because I have to look over. Because not only do I have to look over the wall, I'm eventually going to have to look over the Mizbeach as well. Okay. Done. Period. The Gemara v'isak adacha midos Rav Yehuda hi Mizbeach be'emsa azar mi'mishkachale. And the Gemara says, now is this supportable? Can you really tell me that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Yehuda? And could you really suggest that the Mizbeach finds itself right in the middle of the south of the north south latitude of the Azara? Gemara says, let's consider. Let's learn together another Mishnah in Midos. The Avisa Kadach Midos Rav Yehuda Mizbech Mem Sazar Mimishkacha Levatanan. Right, five lines down from the top of the Amud on Tezayin Amud Beis. Kol Azara Isa Orech Mea Vishmonim Visheva. Al Rochav Mea Vishloshim Vechamesh. Okay, what's the dimension of the Azara? The Azara is 187 by 135. Is the Azara, this area over here, the salmon colored area. So it is 135 from north to south, 187 from east to west. Mina Mizrach Lamarav, Mea Vishmon Vesheva. So the Mishnah Midos actually goes through every Amma. So from the east to the west, it's 187 Amas, Makum Jesus Ragla Yisrael Yudaf Amma, to go from the eastern wall to where the Yisrael stops walking, that's 11 Amas. Right, that's this little area right over here. Malcolm Jesus Ragle Kohanim Yudalf Amma. Another 11 Amas for where the Kohanim would be walking. Mizbeach, Shloshim Vishtain, that takes us to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach now is another 32 Amas. Beina Ulam and Mizbeach Esrim Vishtayim. Between the Ulam, that's the foyer, the antechamber into the Echal. So from the Mizbeach to the Ulam is 22 Amas. The Echal Kuf Amma, the entire east west. Linear dimension of the Heichal is 100 Amma from here to the back of here. The Yudalf Amma Achari Beis HaKapores and 11 Ammas from the end of the Heichal to the back wall, to the back western wall. Okay, that is 187. Somehow I feel that if you add up all those numbers, you'll get to exactly 187. I'm trusting the simple math of the Mishnah in Midos. Min Hadaram Litzafon. Now we're going to go from the south to the north. Okay, so in other words, we could draw any line from the north to the south. We're going to draw a line from the south wall through the Mizbeach to the north. So I'm in Adon, let's start from Me'er v'shloshim v'chamesh. It's 135 in total. Ha'kevesh v'mizbeach shishim v'shtayim. So take the ramp and take the mizbeach, and that already eats up 62 of those amas. Right? The mizbeach itself is 32 by 32, and the ramp going up is 30. Okay, and for those of you who enjoy the geometry, the 30 is talking about the hypotenuse of the ramp, or is it talking about the adjacent, the one that's running along the hypotenuse? Okay. So anyway, so hakevesh v'amizbeach shishim v'shtayim in a mizbeach, so it's 62 amos. Le tabaos ches amos, and the tabaos meaning there were rings fixed into the ground. And the tabaos were a total of 8 amas. They took up 8 amas of space. Now, how many rings were there in total? So there was 4 by 6. There were 24 rings in total, corresponding to the 24 mishmaros. Right? Remember the mishnayos that we learned together in Tamid? One or two of them were locked as a way of censoring one of the mishmaros.
The first two,
right? Okay, your memory is better than mine. So anyway, so the 5. So 8 amas are used up for rings, meaning the total linear space is 8 amos. Malkam atabaos esrim va'arba. I'm sorry. 8 amos to get to the tabaos. I apologize. And 24 of the actual tabaos itself. L'shachanos arba. Then you get to tables. There were 8 tables in total. That's where the animal was cut up. That's where all the intestines were rinsed. L'shachanos arba min ha'shachanos ananasim arba. And then you get to the hooks. That's where you would hang the animal after you shechted the animal, so the animal could be flayed. Arba min ananas from the kota azara ches amos, and then from the hooks to the wall another 8 amos. V'amos ben keves lakota makom hananasim. So in other words, the Mishnah Midos basically says like this: 135 total from here to here, from end to end. The ramp and the mizbeach is 62. Then 8 to get to the tabaos, 24 of the tabaos, another 8 for the shochanos. No. Right, I'm sorry. 4 for the, 24 for the tabaos, 4 for the shochanos, another 4 for the nanasim.
4 to reach the shochanos.
Yeah?
4 to reach from the tabaos to shochanos, 4
amos. Okay, right, could be. So, arba min nanasim lakotol, azra chet amos v'am mosar, and then basically, in other words, there's going to be obviously some distance between the ramp and the wall and the hooks and the wall over here. Meaning the Mishnayos and Midos do the following. It gives us the total dimension from end to end. It gives us the total dimension from the ramp to the last of the hooks. And basically, there's going to be some room. Okay. So what the variable is in the Mishnah Midos is, we don't know exactly where this fits in relative to this. Meaning it could slide around a little bit around here. But the Gemara is basically going to argue, well, it could slide around a little bit, that for sure could be true. But there's no way you can slide it all the way to the point where the Mizbech is going to be right in the center over here. That's the point the Gemara is trying to make. V'isakadacha midos Rav Yehuda hi mizbech ba'azara be'emsa azara mimishkachale haruba de mizbech bedarum kai. So, but the Mishnayos and Midos cannot have the way we have it structured right now, with the distance of the mizbech relative to the rings, relative to the tables, relative to the hooks. There is no way that we can move the mizbech to a point where the mizbech is going to be flush in the center. Can't be. So Ella, so the Gemara says, Harub and the Mizbech with Darum Kai, Ella Lav Shmamina, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Yishmamina. So it must be that the author of the Mishnayos and Midos is not going like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather going like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Okay. A long sentence, if you will. But okay, good. But that's the Gemara's point over there. So quickly, let's review, and we've ended. Okay, we have a discrepancy again. Our daf today is off on a tangent. Rashi explained from the beginning of the whole sugya that the reason why the Gemara is going off on a tangent is because once we resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and Yuma versus the Mishnah and Yuma, and by saying that it's a machlokas tanayim, so therefore we have a sugya over here, belongs somewhere, so Rashi says we'll put it right here. It's a good place to put it. we need a place for this Gemara. So Rashi says this is the place. So we have a discrepancy between the Mishnah and Midos versus the Mishnah and Tamid. The Mishnah and Midos and the Mishnah and Tamid are giving us a different picture of where the Lishkas Talayim is. It's in the southwest and the northwest. And the answer right now is very simple, meaning to summarize the entire daf today, the answer is the Mishnah Midos is authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, period. And so therefore the discrepancy between the two Mishnayos is just simply a reflection of the fact that the Mishnah Midos is authored by a different Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And the rest of today's daf basically supported this thesis by resolving a discrepancy regarding the Eastern Wall and the unobstructed view that's necessary to go from Har HaZeisim into the Pesach HaHeichal, and also this idea that the Mizbeach cannot be in the center. Once I learn the Mishnah Midos, I know the Mizbeach cannot be in the center. So once again, those two indicate that the author of the Mishnah Midos is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Period.
Which one Rambam goes by? Rambam goes with which one?
Oh, I don't know.
What about this picture? This one goes with...
This is a picture that's generally attributed to the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, a more recent, I mean the last 300 years, but a more recent commentary to the Mishnayos. So this picture is attributable to him. And this is more focusing on the Masechta of Midos rather than that of Tamid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Elazar ben Yaakov then?
Yeah.